After 36 days of gushing oil in the Gulf, Interior Secretary Ken Salazar says it may be time to push BP out of the way. And many others have taken up that call as well, but Admiral Thad Allen remains skeptical.
I hear everybody saying, I'm not sure what that term really means.
Push them out of the way.
I know that to work down there right now, you need remotely operated vehicles.
Push BP aside.
You need to do very technical work at 5,000 feet.
Push BP out of the way.
You need equipment and expertise that's not generally within the government, federal government, in terms of competency, capability, or capacity.
It is the largest response to an oil spill in U.S. history. 22,000 people working around the clock, 2.5 million feet of boom, $760 million so far, and yet the oil is still spilling into the water, at least 6 million gallons so far, possibly more than 11 million. And my next guest says it may be time for the federal government to push BP out of the way. David Pettit is a senior attorney with the National Resources Defense Fund. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
And we still have another David with us, David Biello, Associate Editor of Environment and Energy at Scientific American. But David Pettit, let me start with you. The law that allows the government to, as they've been saying, push BP out of the way came directly out of the Exxon Valdez spill. What does it give the government authority to do?
Well, Celeste, the government has the authority to direct the spill, the cleanup efforts, in any way that it sees fit. So what that means is the government can take over and just tell BP what to do, or the government can essentially sit back and consult with BP and let BP do what it thinks best. The government has the choice of which way it wants to handle that.
Okay, so you think that this may be time for that to happen. I mean, it's been 36 days. We do have millions of gallons in the Gulf so far, but it's still leaking. The BP is still not in compliance with what the EPA ordered in terms of changing the dispersant that they're using. Do you think that the government is legally obligated to take over operations?
No, I don't. As I mentioned, I think they can if they want to. And the real question, as the other David said a moment ago, is if they decide they want to, what would they do differently from what BP is doing now? I think that that BP and the Coast Guard are both essentially clueless in the way they're approaching both the capping of the well and the cleaning up of the oil that's spilled. And if you ask yourself why that is, you need to look back at the federal government itself, and specifically the Minerals Management Service, which has allowed industry in the Gulf of Mexico to get away for many, many years without any serious environmental review or safety review or preparation for a spill such as this.
I'm going to play for you something that Senator Bill Nelson of Florida said yesterday.
The president ought to take charge. He ought to put the military in charge of trying to get this well stopped. The military can organize it and be the head of the rescue operation. Otherwise, we have a situation that's going out of control with BP doing the running of the show, and they're not getting it done.
Okay, David Biello, Senator Bill Nelson didn't specify how the military was going to take over, although the U.S. Coast Guard has started positioning ships along Louisiana's western coast. They say the BP isn't deploying spill response equipment quickly enough. Does our American military have the technological capability to do this?
Well, moving ships around and logistics and things of that nature, I don't think there's hardly anybody better than the U.S. military at doing that. But as far as the technical expertise of operating, you know, submersible robots a mile underneath the sea and pumping mud down there, the companies are the ones who can do that. And unfortunately, all the companies in the world who have that capacity are already at work in the Gulf. And they have yet to deliver results.
But David Biello, what about this, what David Pettit just mentioned a moment ago, that the government could actually still take over just the operations and order BP how to maneuver?
They could, but the problem is that the federal government doesn't necessarily have the expertise to evaluate a lot of these options. As Mr. Pettit mentioned, a lot of that goes back to the Minerals Management Service, which really hasn't exercised a lot of oversight and doesn't have the technical capacity to determine whether, you know, top kill or junk shot or any of these other wonderful names that we've heard make the most sense.
Well, David Pettit, does that argue, and it's, I think it's fair to say that we're all in agreement that they're kind of improvising this as they go along on this disaster, does that argue for a regulatory scheme that maybe puts the cart back in front of the, or puts the horse back in front of the cart, where we're approving technologies for disaster before they happen. We're thinking about, all right, if something like this should happen, here's the technology. We actually test it out like you would do a NASA spaceship. And before you actually drill, you have a regulatory scheme to deal with what happens.
Well, I agree completely, and I hope that that's what the President's Blue Ribbon Commission is going to come out and recommend. It's not enough just to reassign people within the agency and put up some kind of ethical wall. Somebody referred to that the other day as just changing the name tags on the doors. We do need a total overhaul of that agency, in my opinion, and safety needs to come first. I mean, this is not the first big blowout in the Gulf. The Ishtok 1 well blew out in 1979, took 9 months to cap. And despite that, MMS has done essentially nothing to improve our ability to clean up spills any greater than those abilities were during the 1969 spill in Santa Barbara. And at the same time, our ability, or the industry's ability, to drill in deep and deeper water has increased probably a thousandfold. They're now, Shell just completed a well in 7,000 feet of water, substantially deeper than the one we're talking about. But again, we're still back with hay bales on the beach like we were in Santa Barbara in 1969 in terms of our ability to clean up these spills, and that's got it completely backwards.
David Biello, has the technology just not kept up, the technology in terms of cleanup and safety, has it not kept up with the technology used to actually drill these wells?
There's no question that the, let's say, underinvestment in technology to clean up oil spills is a large part of the problem here. I mean, we're still stuck with the same technologies that we were using back then. But to be fair, we are deploying the same strategies that were used to stop the oil spill in Mexico and to stop the oil spill in Santa Barbara. They just happened to be in much shallower water, and we were more capable of dealing with them.
Well, so maybe as another guest, the former president of Shell Oil, suggested earlier, it would be safer to go ahead and just drill in shallower water.
Well, that's one option, but shallower water tends to be where people live a lot closer to that, and the hope was that offshore drilling would keep the oil far away from the people. That hasn't turned out to be the case.
David Biello, Associate Editor of Environment and Energy at Scientific American, and David Pettit, Senior Attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.